From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. More than 86,000 students are enrolled in public charter schools in Georgia. This year, lawmakers approved an increase of annual funding for charter schools, ringing in at almost $18 million. Nearly 30 years since the dawn of charter schools were proposed as an alternative. How are they doing? We're getting some clarity and some contemporary Georgia perspective today from John Vallant. He's with the Brookings Institution and has extensively researched charter schools. Good morning, John.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Also with us from Kennesaw State University is Professor Ben Scafidi. He is former chair of Georgia Charter Schools Commission. And hello, Ben.
Good morning, Virginia.
Now, Ben, this has been pretty much the biggest shift in education in recent years. How did the charter school movement start and why did it catch on?
In Georgia, it started actually fairly early after Minnesota passed their law back in 1991. And Georgia tried to go full bore back in 93 with having startup charter schools, but it really took till 1998 for the state legislature to create them. And then it really took till 2008 for the legislature to make them a viable option in Georgia, and it's taken off since 2008.
So Georgia was a relatively early adopter. First, a little bit on the philosophy. Why charter schools as an alternative to the public school model?
I think people thought our public schools needed to be better, and they wanted to add another option for parents.
How are charter schools funded here in Georgia?
Well, that's a good question. It depends. If they're authorized by the local school district, then they get local, federal, and state money. But all in, they get about 20% less than regular public schools. If they're funded, if they're approved straight by that state commission, then they're funded only with state and federal funds, and they probably get about 25% less than traditional public schools.
Since 1991, there are a number of for-profit entities now operating charter schools. Here's Gary Miron. He's a professor at Western Michigan University from an Intelligence Squared U.S. debate.
Today, we're looking at close to half of the nation's public charter school students are enrolled in privately operated charter schools. In my own state of Michigan, 90% of our charter schools are owned and operated by private entities. Some are nonprofit in nature, some are for-profit. Most are 80% are for-profit. This was not anticipated.
John, was this anticipated, and should there be concern about for-profit companies running schools?
I think concern is fair about for-profit companies running schools. To be clear, I think a lot of those students are in virtual charters, like the types of schools we heard about previously. So they're not necessarily the schools that people have in mind often when they think about what for-profit charter schools are. When we think about what sort of urban charter schools look like, it tends to be nonprofits that are operating those schools.
Now, there are now state charter schools and local charter schools. What's the difference, John?
Well, in Georgia, it has to do with who it is that authorizes the school. So charter schools, kind of stepping back, they are schools that operate through a contract between whoever it is that's leading the school and someone who's overseeing the school. And those authorizers can come from different places. In Georgia, they can come from the local board of education or the state board of education. And then that really has to do with who it is who's sort of overseeing and making sure that everything's going okay.
And Ben, this funding that has been approved for state charter schools in Georgia, nearly $18 million. Clarify for us, who does oversee that? Is this the board that's authorizing them?
Yeah, this is the state commission board that authorizes those. And they'll get a little bit more money to kind of get closer to what other charter schools get now.
We're talking this hour about charter schools and how they're performing in Georgia. John Vallant is with me from the Brookings Institution, and Ben Scafidi, he's now Kennesaw State University professor. And Ben, we talked earlier in the show, as you heard, about a virtual school that your former colleagues decided was not performing. How many others do not get renewed here in Georgia?
It happens. Schools don't get renewed every year. Most of them do, but some don't, one or two every year.
Do charter schools in general serve special needs and high-risk kids like we heard about?
Charter schools are very, very diverse in who they serve. A lot of them do serve those kind of students. But one thing that's generally true is charter schools serve more minority students than traditional public schools.
Now, John, there have been dozens of studies supporting pros and cons of charter school performances. But how do charter schools perform when compared to public schools in general?
So for all of those pros and cons, if you look at the best evidence we have, it looks like charter school students do about the same as we think they probably would if they were in district schools. And that is on kind of math and reading assessments that we use to measure kind of what it is that students are learning. There is some evidence that kids are doing a little bit better when it comes to high school graduation and attendance, and some evidence that students in urban charter schools are doing better than students in non-urban charter schools. But sort of across the board, the charter students don't seem to be doing much better or much worse than students in district schools.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about that, the idea that charter schools are serving more minority students than traditional public schools. For those wishing to tear down the system and start again, New Orleans after Katrina was proving ground and the schools became all charter schools. You studied that, John, in New Orleans and came across some of the challenges and barriers for enrollment there. What are they? How are they managed?
That's right. So New Orleans has a very unusual school system. And what happened was after Hurricane Katrina devastated the city and also the school system, they rebuilt a system that was sort of entirely decentralized and didn't use a traditional district. And now it is essentially an all-charter school system where families don't get assigned to local schools based on where they live. They all have to submit a list of ranked school requests, and then there's an algorithm that places them in schools. And that system has done well in a lot of ways. Graduation rates sort of went way up and test scores are up. It has also created challenges. So people worry, for example, about whether parents who are sort of most disconnected have greater difficulty navigating a system that's more complex than the types of systems that we usually see. And then there's also some concern about what happens when you're sort of moving students across the city and whether you might lose a sort of a sense of community that builds up when you have a sort of local neighborhood school.
Mm-hmm. So transportation being one of the big challenges, getting a kid who may not be in a district to a school in another district. Is there any public transportation for that, or is that all privately funded from the school?
So this varies a lot across cities and across states, and that's sort of true of charters in general. It's always important to keep in mind that they look very different from place to place. In New Orleans actually has the most generous transportation structure I've seen. They offer yellow school bus transportation from any part of the city to any school, which is great for access because it means that families in the most disadvantaged part of New Orleans can still get to schools in just about any part of the city. It is very expensive, though.
Well, we do know that President Trump and Department of Education head Betsy DeVos have said that charter schools are civil rights. However, NAACP and Black Lives Matter movement, they contend that charter schools exacerbate segregation. So why are they opposed?
So the politics on charters, I think, are really changing right now. If you sort of go back and look at the political history of charters, they've had these really interesting political coalitions where you've had political conservatives that kind of like the idea that you have a market reform and you have competition, and you had civil rights leaders and advocates who like the idea that just like wealthier families can choose their schools by choosing where they live, charters sort of give an opportunity for poor families to choose schools. And what has happened over the last couple of years since the Trump administration has really championed charters is they have taken a much more antagonistic approach toward traditional public schools and have become kind of the face of charters. And we've seen in public opinion polling that charter schools are becoming less popular with Democrats. And the notion of what charter schools do now seems to be more that they should sort of antagonize and push public schools than that they're there to offer options to disadvantaged families.
How about that, Ben? Charter schools are often framed under this big umbrella of school choice, though not entirely containing that issue. And it's become a red meat issue. When did this become such a partisan fight?
Yeah, I think I agree with what John said. President Obama was for charter schools, and the politics changed when President Trump was elected. And I think there's a disconnect between African-American parents, for example, and then African-American advocacy organizations. African-American parents tend to support charter schools, are more likely to enroll their children there. They view them as a lifeline, but then their national advocacy organizations are now coming out full barrel against them.
What's your read on that, John?
It's an interesting point. So, and it has been true that some of those advocacy organizations have changed positions in very recent years. And we had, I mean, previously with charters, President Clinton was a supporter. As Ben said, President Obama was. And we've seen sort of a shift. And for parents, for a lot of parents, they don't necessarily concern themselves with the politics of something like charter schools. They want to make sure their kids are in a good school. And so for parents who feel good about their kids' school, who have their kids in a charter, I think there still is a lot of support for at least sort of keeping that school up and running and strong.
Ben, I've read a lot of arguments of those who are anti-charter school and then accusations, counter-accusations, that they just have this nostalgic vision of what public schools once were. What do you think? Have they lived up to the alternative to public schools?
I believe that the good ones have. And the good news is the bad ones close. They either close because their authorizer, like the state commission, closes them down. But in a lot of places, they're closed by the parents first because the parents leave. So I think that's the good news of the charter school movement.
How about for you, John? Is it living up, charter schools as a movement, living up to this promise of alternatives to public schools and delivering results?
So I think one of the real flaws with charter schools sort of from the get-go was that they overpromised what charters could deliver. So if you go back and kind of look at what the initial promise was, it was that we would get much better results out of charters with a lot more innovation in sort of experimenting with new ideas at lower cost in a way that would benefit the public school system and close gaps between historically advantaged and disadvantaged groups. And that is a really tall order. And I think it's very difficult to argue that charters have come close to delivering on that. Now, at the same time, they have done some clearly good things. For example, they have sort of helped to disprove this idea that schools that serve disadvantaged kids can't do well. I think we have a lot of evidence that there are charters that are performing really, really well. And they've created a lot more opportunities for poor families to choose than there were before. So I think they maybe have underperformed the sort of highest expectations out there, but they have done some good things.
John Vaillant, who's research public charter schools, rather, with the Brookings Institution. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And Ben Scafidi, now Kennesaw State University professor, former chair of the Georgia Charter Schools Commission. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Virginia.